It's Tuesday night, July 12th.
So what I need is to have you guys help me. Help us in our revelations that we've had on the humanity of Christ. It's a valuable thing. It's a real major issue. There's one God. One true God. And the man Jesus Christ.
I see it as being hidden in plain sight.
It is.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting tonight, Lord. That your spirit would flow, that your truth would flow, and that we would have ears for your truth, Lord, by your spirit. Do that good work.
Amen. I was thinking about that too, you know, that, and I was wondering what's the right way to do that, you know, because the catchphrase would be, there's hundreds of scriptures, and the next phrase is, where are they? And so then you almost have to build a list, and then you're building a defense. And so, you know, where do you draw the line between being prepared intellectually and being open to be led by the Spirit to do God's work? And I mean, there's no doubt that it's mentioned many, many, many places. And there's no doubt that we've got several of them committed to memory. You probably have them all committed to memory, Keith, because you're so good at that. But, you know, I was thinking how to approach this and not fall into the standard legalism of trying to convince someone that you have a doctrine. And this is our doctrine. And, you know, Because I've been wondering, you know, there's got to be a way that God wants us to do that. There's got to be a right way. There's probably many, many wrong ways.
I think, you know, you get led by the Spirit, and those problems take care of themselves. Take care of themselves. I think it is true, though, you're right, that we are familiar enough with the issue that it wouldn't be a real effort to be pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But
you know, one of the things that's important is that once we can establish a thing, it's really up to other people to get to find the scripture to prove it. You know what I mean? And one day I saw it. But I didn't understand it. But slowly understanding began to come.
One thing I have been curious about, not curious enough to do anything about, but still curious about, is what went on at that council at Nicaea. What were the arguments made? What were the, you know, the factors that entered into their deciding what they did? Kind of speculate, but it'd be good to find out what happened at that council at Nicaea.
Is this strictly a men's meeting?
No.
Okay.
Now, this girl here might know.
What happened at the Council of Nicaea? not particularly, huh?
No.
Well, I think the devil got together with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, well, and they
came up with a plan.
I guess that's the short answer.
Don't know if there's any real mystery there. And I'm not trying to be flippant. But I think it just became easier to explain miracles.
You know, it takes the Bible to prove whatever it is that God wants to prove it. You have to hear the word. Just like Jesus said, if they won't believe Moses, then they wouldn't even believe if they saw somebody rose from the dead. And it's the same thing. It's like the Bible is the evidence that God uses. And so we hear the word and we slowly, it makes sense to us. But I thought, how many times have I heard scriptures that have supported or have told me that Jesus was a man? 100, 200, 300? Before one day I saw it. You know why we don't see it? It's because we have been taught a wrong doctrine for years. We were taught a wrong doctrine through community chapel. And as wonderful as Don Brent was, he still has some nutty things that he believed. He believed that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Based on what? Based on what? And that was one of the problems that we had with this group that we had on Friday nights. Because they were still under Don Burnett's teaching, and so they still believed that thing. And I thought, you could make a statement and be nutso, and people believe it. So it'd be nice to make a statement that was not so, and have people believe it.
I think you can travel around in church circles for decades and still believe that the scriptures say that Christ was fully God and fully man. I think, you know, you can do that. Indeed, I know a couple of people who have. Well, the Bible says he's fully God and fully man. You know.
But it doesn't really say that.
I think what they are thinking is that there is a scripture that says,
yeah,
and Jesus was fully God and fully man. You know, you ask them where that is, and they hunt and say, oh, doggone, I'm not finding that thing.
Yeah. Mm. And the Trinity is based on that.
Yeah.
Thinking of a lot of scriptures that we have run into that were real lifesavers, real biggies, and what we need to do is to capitalize on those. You know, if the church said that he was a man. Back at the time of Paul and Peter and James and John, can we change that some way? The man Jesus Christ, God made him both Lord and Christ. God makes him something. God, one spirit doesn't make another spirit something. The Father didn't make his son another spirit by himself. But it does say, as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. That was a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says, John 5:26. As the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. It says that.
What do you think that actually means? What does having life in yourself mean? I mean, I just hear that and I go, I don't know what that means. I mean, God has life in himself. That kind of makes sense, but
yeah, yes,
if
it does.
He gave it to Jesus, I mean, what did that mean? What did it produce?
Being full of God, you know, I think would be one. And Jesus was full of God. Full of God.
But does that also mean then that the day is or the hour is coming when we will have life in ourselves as well?
Well, yeah, that's the other question. Is it applicable to the body of Christ also? He's the head. I would think it has something to do with the body.
You know, there in John 17, they're all mixed together. There's, you know, there's God, and then there's Jesus, and then there's us. It's all kind of one. You know, kind of sounds like a trinity. You know?
I mean, you just stop and think, have life in himself.
But it was given. You know, it was given.
Well, it was given. That's the important thing. That was the other thing. That one word means a lot. He just wasn't. It was given. But, you know, it's like, right at this point, I have no idea what it means to have life in himself. You know?
Could it mean he was indestructible?
Well, yeah, I was thinking, like, does that mean why he could go 40
yeah.
days without eating?
Yeah.
Things like that, I don't know.
Resurrected?
Or is it pertaining to when he's glorified? Doesn't kind of sound.
Well, he said it was given, you know, prior to his being glorified. He made the statement.
Yeah, he makes the statement. But
maybe he's referring to.
I don't know. That's just one little thought that popped up.
Yeah.
It is an interesting concept, you know.
Well, after the day of Pentecost, it appears that you know, like the last verse in the book of Mark, it appears that Jesus was with the church wherever they went. And he was always right there in their midst. The Lord working with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think the important distinction between being a glorified man and being a God is something that people can't wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
hard to grasp.
Uh-huh.
We're just human.
Well, who does it glorify?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's only one that does it glorify. Only God can glorify a man. I mean, you can't glorify yourself.
Yeah. But the upshot is not being God. All you are is a glorified man. You know, you have a lot of characteristics that are a whole lot like God. But
I glorified man with the fullness of God. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. But yeah,
there's only one.
So only far. One so far, right? Only one meeting. We all fall short. I was looking at other translations on the 5:26 just to see. There's a couple. The New American Standard says, "For just as the Father has life in Himself, so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself." So
essentially the same.
Sounds exactly like He's got the fullness of God in Him, and therefore He can make 7 loaves and 2 fish feed 1,000 because He gave them the ability to do that. So I think life in Himself He also gave to the Son. So I know what you're asking and it's going. Yeah, well, I can wrap my head around
listening to that, though. Then I ask, well, so when Peter did a miracle, what was that?
Well, Peter had the glory of God, but he wasn't a glorified.
Well,
he wasn't quite.
When Jesus was doing the miracles, he wasn't glorified yet either.
Yeah, I guess, well, okay. Sure, I understand the point.
And I don't think he just did it on his own necessarily.
I'm sure he was getting a lot of lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah.
See, I like that statement, and the Lord was working with them, and I did have a question. Did they know that? Well, they must. See, I would like to know when the Lord is working with you.
Well,
you know, it's your ministry.
Take that guesswork out of there?
Yeah.
I think when it's happening big time, there's not much question. But
yeah, I mean, I know we all probably have known times when we knew we were anointed at a certain point. Mm-hmm. But, and that's a good feeling.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That is a good feeling.
And the other times you're wondering, is this the time I'm supposed to be stepping on a faith?
Do you have a very good handle on that? On Jesus being
No, I think of the scripture that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him
bodily.
And I think if He's, you know, all I can add is more, you know,
questions.
More questions.
Same theme, though.
Yeah, same theme, but. If the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in His body, and He was given life within Himself, if, as a man, everything we do being in the name of Jesus, He's the head. And we're just a part of that body, so I don't know that we are that we will have life within ourselves, except for in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do is in the name of Jesus, and it's we're stepping in His footsteps. You know, and when He says, "Greater things than these shall ye do," is it because we're stepping in His footsteps, because do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what. So he, without the head,
without
we
the
ain't
head,
having, we ain't having no life in ourselves.
No, and I don't know that was given to us, with the exception of you follow suit, and if you're hearing that voice, and without that conduit to us. And you know, ministering or doing whatever with what was that scripture? With Jesus, you had just referenced it in Mark.
Jesus was present, finally,
working
with
them.
Yes, working with them. Yes, so that's what we do, but we hear His voice because his sheep hear his voice. Outside of that,
But I think, wasn't Jesus doing essentially that in connection with the Father? Wasn't he just totally in tune and following in his steps too?
But there was something that he was given, you know, either in his baptism or at some point.
Yeah.
There was something that there seemed to be a transition for him.
I don't know that he would have been free to just go about his business however he cared to, though, and still have that life in himself. Required.
You know, the thing that, let's see, I'm trying to find it.
Just as we have to. You know.
Right. Right.
There's somewhere, I don't know if it's going to give it by what I put in here, where it says that we will also have the fullness of God. Or Paul says that you might have the fullness.
Yeah, Paul prays that there in, I think it's Ephesians chapter 3.
Is that where it is? Yeah.
Yeah, to be, that he prays that you be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. There in Ephesians 3 something.
Yeah, the one is
a little hard to be.
4:13, but it's not saying, but I don't know how it said it, but that must be it.
Sometimes in here they don't like give the whole verse, and so then
I saw that and I thought, wow, that's a pretty neat prayer or promise or whatever.
There's no more God than there's no more God than being. No, it's chapter or verse 19, I believe.
So 3.
Chapter 3, Ephesians 3, verse 19.
Small book.
I know it's right next to Galatians. There we go.
Hard to improve on that.
Yeah.
And you get there by having the love of Christ passing or skipping your brain.
Yeah.
No knowledge. It's Colossians 2:9 has a couple interesting translations. Some translations like to use Godhead and some like to use deity.
In him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah.
Yep. But for the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. This is one translation which.
And you know, there, right there, in Christ. So who is Christ?
Anointed.
Right? The anointed one. So right there is putting him as a man. I mean, it's not saying, you know, that's another place that points to humanity.
You know, and you read the next verse after Colossians 2:9, it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So, you know, it's.
We're living up to what we're supposed to be early.
No.
Only short of the fullness of God, are we?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of it is, because we don't think we can be, you know. I mean, you have to see it first, and then you got to believe it, and then you got to wait on God to do it. But you can be asking the whole time.
I don't know, this might be a little bit of a cop-out, but I just think that the way Christianity is failing until God does it, and then there's success.
Well, yeah, obviously he has to do it.
That's the way.
Yeah.
And the failure is just very essential to the process, in my opinion.
But
you have to know where it comes from, and it's not, it ain't you.
You got to be seeking.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
I don't think you can just go, okay, so now I'll just wait until God does it. Partly, though, I do think that, in a sense, when I'm asking him to do it, I...
A part of the failing is failing in the asking, too, though.
Yeah, that's a lot of the failing. I mean, that's probably where we fail the most.
Dance on that night vision about, yeah, only God's going to do it, so you don't, but you don't get caught in the past and waiting for God to do it.
Right.
And you say, okay, I need to go on and demonstrate faith that God will do it.
We're all getting a little old for, but that's just natural man talking.
Yeah.
Look how old Abraham was before he had all those sons that were as many as the sands in the sea.
And we don't want to sell God short.
No.
Right, because when the anointing falls, the anointing falls. And when the anointing falls, we know it. Right? So, you know, diligently seeking, and the anointing will fall.
What? Intermittently diligently seeking.
Well, kind of as you said,
Keith, what year was it when you heard that voice? Do you remember?
I'd be right around the year 2000, wouldn't it?
Yeah, around 2000.
So we've got...
tell me what year was it that your dad was in Kentucky?
Wow, that was well before that, I think.
I
mean, his being in Kentucky was well before that.
Yeah.
I thought he was in Kentucky. This was when he was back here. He's been back here for a long time. When
oh, I didn't... Oh, I thought it was when he was in Kentucky.
No.
Let's see. There you go.
So we had 18 more years before it's all going to happen.
Even 18 years, we can't keep it straight.
I'm going on the 40 years thing.
Yeah.
Was it 92, 93, was it?
Keith will be here.
I
don't think it was that early.
Okay.
Sounds to me as though you're going to live to be 103, though, Keith.
It's not what he wanted to hear, Charlie.
I know. About 103?
Yeah.
Well, no one's saying you're going to be in the chair in 103 either, so I'm fine. Unless you're just not going to show them more faith.
I think he's going to be walking around when he's 103.
Jump and roll.
I can't walk around now.
No, I know. You know, you get better with age, though.
Instead of like old boy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, it was in the 90s, and I don't know if it was 92, but I'm pretty sure it was by 95. So I remember you and I having a conversation like, what is this going to hurt?
Why was it what?
Jesus. Find a new senior, and what's this? Bible. Let's get into the Bible. And what's this going to hurt?
So
I remember having a conversation like, what? I don't see a downside yet.
No.
Yeah. Maybe 95, 96, because we were just in our house that we were in Federal Way, when you and Mom came to visit. I remember sitting in the living room.
What?
Well, we moved in 95, so maybe 96?
Now it's only 13 years.
96, maybe?
I might even live that long.
We weren't in our house very long.
You know, maybe 99.
I don't
know. That sounds about right. 92 seems a little early, but 95. Because it was a few years. I mean,
well,
by the time CC just crushed and crumbled.
Yeah.
And there was a few years after that, because we kind of, there was that zone.
A fair amount of years after.
Yeah. Well, I said 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Right.
Really? Well, it kind of depends on when you next see the problem.
93, 94, right in there, Camille was a baby. And that was about the time you wrote me some letters from Kentucky. At least one letter from Kentucky.
Well,
and we were still in that house when Camille was a baby.
His being in Kentucky was well before.
Before. Right.
Had the
so that would have been maybe And she was born in 93, 94, right in there. We moved into this other house, and then maybe a year or two. So somewhere between 94 and maybe 96, 97, somewhere in there, maybe. If just putting a couple of earmarks.
I don't know.
Yeah.
When you came back, were we still a little bit affiliated with them? And then Keith came back, and then we all decided we didn't want to have nothing to do with that out there anymore.
I thought the disaffiliation had occurred some before that.
Before that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that might have, because it seemed.
Yeah. New name and whatever. When you came back from Kentucky, though, the theme of what you had to bring was the importance of loving God. You were on that theme for quite some time. you know, you had a pretty glorious experience down there in Kentucky. And all connected with having kidney stones. But I don't think it had anything to do with it. First of all, looking, if you're serious about looking, you know, about finding me, you got to look for me where I am. I don't think that wasn't until several years
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not just real important.
No, unless you want to try to make numbers.
No.
Well, it's not important. So it's not. Because I recall we came in and said, well, we've been doing nothing but reading the Bible for 20 years now. And then after that, we just kind of gave up. It's about more than 20 years. You know, to our amazement, we're still learning things. We're still finding new things out there all the time. So it all fits, because 20 years would have been 15. 16. That's a while ago. 2016.
Years back. What I remember is that I went up to Alaska for a 40th high school class reunion. If it wasn't my, you know, I didn't graduate with that class, but I went up for the class reunion and saw the people that I had gone to school with earlier on. And my sister was living there at the time. And I told her, yeah, we're still on the Bible, you know, still listening to the Bible. She said, you're still doing that? You're still
still an old man.
Doing that.
I remember you coming back and telling us that. We're all going, still do.
And pew, they're being invited.
Well, that's just
That'd be 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'd already been listening.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Decade, it's been a decade. It's a lot of the people who are
calling. To me,
I started to get a good look at myself, and it wasn't pretty, you know? And I had thought at one time that my life was a very good thing, but that's not what I saw, and that's how leading up to my experience. And, you know, a lot of people see themselves as being pretty good. There's a minister that I know. I've never talked to him, but I've said hi to him. But I think he thinks he's pretty good. I never have. I've looked at it and thought, what a mess. It kind of like the Pharisee and the publican.
Yeah.
You know? The Pharisee says, I thank God I'm not like other men. And the publican says, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And that's kind of the picture of who we are. At best, we're a sinner. Paul says, he came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief.
Yeah, thinking you're pretty good is poison.
Yeah.
Well, thinking you're better than other men doesn't guarantee you heaven either.
No,
that's the real. I'm really glad I'm not like other guys. Doesn't matter. They're not making it either. I mean, it's kind of like you're holding yourself up to the wrong standard.
We're all like others.
That Pharisee deserves a little credit, though. I mean, he was thanking God for this situation,
yeah.
You know. But that wasn't enough.
He didn't have the total revelation.
No. But oh, thank God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I hear
you. Yeah, well.
Okay, Jonah has a little green bead. Okay, it's a thing. Okay, all right, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. Bye bye. It was Candy, and she knows what's going on. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Angel is going up to urgent care or to the emergency room because Jonah has taken a bead and stuffed it so far up his nose that she can't get it out, and so they're going to have to go in and have a doctor pull this out. So Candy's going up to hold the baby while Angel's with Jonah. And her last comment was, and Angel's not real keen on doctors, but she's stepping out to do this anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked if we could pray for that situation. That kind of lines up with the other prayer we think we have. Lord, help us.
Yeah, I remember swallowing 5 nickels. That's one time. Why would you put 5 nickels in your mouth?
Because you're a kid.
Yeah,
you're a quarterback.
Fortunately, my grandma reacted really fast and actually went in and put her finger and pulled them out.
Johnny on the spot, grandma,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. So let's. Can you pray for that right away? Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord?
You're there.
Yes. Oh, that would get itself resolved quickly and easily.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
It just would not be a big deal, Lord. May your spirit be able to extract that bead.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Be with them. Painful as possible for the little one, Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I guess that other stuff too here. Mm. Lord, we ask that you have your hand on Eli. You blow your breath of healing upon that.
Yes.
A quick healing here, that he would be back to using the leg without any kind of impingement or any things that work just fine here for that leg here in a short period of time. We thank you. Nothing vital got hit here.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask of Jesus that you would be with Susan's sister, Kathy.
Yes, Lord God.
She is undergoing this surgical procedure. at age 80, whatever. Surgeries just don't work for old folks very well. So, Lord, we ask our Jesus that you'd make up the difference.
Yes.
Make up the difference.
Yes.
Very
well. Yes.
And
yes.
She would do
herself.
Just fine.
Yes.
Just fine.
Yes.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask, God Jesus, that your tent of protection would be upon us.
Yes.
We feel as though that tent is maybe not in operation the way that you, it's simply like you to be looking after your children.
Yes.
And having your hand of protection upon them. And we're seeing some ways in which that's not happening. So, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, we ask that there would be that tent of protection, that we would know that we are your children, and therefore we're just not going to be plagued with medical problems and whatever else.
Yes, Lord.
That we would just, that we would know that, and that it would be true. The thing that we know would be a true thing.
Yes, Jesus.
Your protection would be upon us. Now we aren't going to get in heaven until we're in heaven. Things happen here. That's the way of it. But nonetheless, you look after your children.
Yes.
So Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that would be in full operation, that the enemy would not have his access, whoever, however, whatever's going on there, the enemy just would not have access.
Lord, thank you for Corky's quick recovery.
Yes, that was
yes.
good.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes.
There was no extra complications or anything else that got taken care of immediately. So thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for continuing to bring Pablo along and his healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, yes, Lord. Just keep having your hand on him.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Reading a little further in Colossians 2. You know, the verse talks about, I went too far. Verse 9.